Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and my dear friend, Dr. Marty Greer, is here. And we are going to talk about a subject that can be a little bit sensitive, but is also kind of timely with the holidays and all the things that are going on. While we have people coming in and out of our house and our pets are like, bah! And so we're going to talk about the question of behavior management and how we can safely manage our pet's behavior and when it is no longer safe to do so. So there's some big topics for the holidays, but I think important,
For sure. Because this is really common. These mm-hmm. behavioral issues are very common, much more common than they used to be. Mm-hmm. Or at least we've identified them to be more common than they used to be. It may be partly recognition. It may be partly reality. It may be partly post-COVID. It's kind of hard to know.
Right. Well, and I think two things. I think our society's a little bit different, and we've chosen different pets for our households. And so I think those things make a difference. And honestly, I think the post-COVID thing is a thing. Like, I think there's just a lot. And so how we manage these dogs, that particularly dogs, I mean, I think this is true of cats, but probably less. Mm-hmm. How we manage these dogs that just, you know, need a little extra help to get through life. And that behavior management piece, I think the other part of it, honestly, Marty, is we have better living through pharmaceuticals.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the way we address these issues medically with medications now is mm-hmm. much better than it used to be. We have a much better understanding. I mean, some of the drugs we're using aren't that new, but there are newer applications. There's some new ones. But mostly it's new applications and new awareness and a whole generation of veterinary graduates that are more familiar with the drugs. When mm-hmm. I graduated from veterinary school, we had acepromazine.
Yeah, right. And as we're well aware, and make sure that everyone else is well aware, acepromazine is not a behavioral modification drug, right?
No, not really. It can be a sedative. There are some uses for it, but it is certainly not the backbone of what we can do. It's an antipsychotic and it helps mm-hmm. quiet them, and it's great in a pre-med by injectable, mm-hmm. but the oral medications are highly unpredictable in their response. I mean, you can give a handful of this stuff to some dogs and it doesn't touch them. So really it's not useful. And the other one that I want to really call out right now is Benadryl, because a lot of people think that Benadryl is a great behavior modification drug, and it's not. It's similar to acepromazine, not in its action, but in the fact that basically you just paralyze your dog. It's not any less scared. It's not any more comfortable in its own skin. It's just down for the count. And so it's still suffering from the same level of anxiety, but it just can't move. And that is not a solution.
And I think that that's really important, because too often we as the humans in this situation are just so frustrated and so like freaked out, like, why can't this dog just chill, right? Like, get a grip. A number of years ago, we had a German wire hair pointer that we pulled from a shelter for the Wire Hair Pointer Club of America Rescue. And his name was Logan. And Logan had the single most severe case of separation anxiety I have ever seen in my 40 some odd years involved with dogs. Truly out of control. Could not be in a run, could not be in a crate, could not be more than 3 feet away from you. Destroyed everything, like climbed out of run. It was just insane. Mm-hmm. And if he was lying down and could touch your foot with his nose, he was like the most perfect dog known to man. But if he had to be left unattended, your house, you came back to disaster, like truly threatened. So that, I think, gave me a better understanding of what a lot of folks are dealing with. Because, you know, when I raise my own dogs and I have a certain way with them, you know what I'm saying? So you see this every day. Talk through kind of a regular situation, you know, that you see in your clinic six times a week.
Six times a day?
Okay. I was kind of underestimating, my bad.
Sure. So we certainly see separation anxiety as a very common situation. We also see a lot of just generalized anxiety where the dog is just not comfortable in their own skin. Sometimes cats, but mostly dogs, like you said. And then we see noise anxiety and, you know, just a whole array of different situations. And I have gotten to the point that I can walk into an exam room and look at the client, look at the dog, look at the posture of the client, look at the posture of the dog, the location of the dog in the exam room, and pretty much read the situation of you're having problems. And, you know, it's not that I'm essentially all that skilled. It's just that there are certain profiles. And I'm not saying I'm profiling the human or the dog, but there's certain behavioral profiles that you start to see that you just recognize pretty quickly. This dog is not a happy dog. Now, I love walking into the exam room with a golden retriever or a Labrador that is just like, if they could wag their tail any further, they would turn inside out. And those are fun. Those are really fun appointments. And those are certainly not the only ones that we see. We see little dogs. We see big dogs. We can certainly see an array of dogs that have that demeanor. And I love that because they walk in the room, you give them a ginger snap or a cookie or a cheese ball or whatever.
The owners are happy. So I think that that's kind of where I want to get to, right? Like if you are out there tonight with your pet, and your pet is causing you anxiety, which I promise you is then causing your pet anxiety. And that feedback loop is happening. Like this is a real thing, you guys. I don't know a nicer way to say it.
Right. And you're not trying to be harsh. It's just, this is reality. Is not every dog is happy at the vet clinic. There are little dogs that can be just thrilled.
Like, or in their own skin next door to themselves. Right.
They're just, woohoo, they'll be on the counter in the exam room and they're putting their nose under the tray. We have a little tray on the counter in the exam room that has an array of snacks in it. It's like the little tray that they put behind the bar where they keep the olives and the lemon slices and the cherries, you know? Right. So the dog goes over there and starts flipping it open and they're like, I know what's in here. And it's great, you know, I love that. But a lot of dogs, we can't get them out from under the chair. If we do get them out from under the chair, they're horrified. If we do put them on the table, you have to be very aware that they are in a panic. And this is very important, is the American Vet Med Association Professional Liability Insurance Trust, which is our malpractice carrier for many veterinarians, but not all, does not want owners helping with restraint during veterinary visits. Because if your dog or cat scratches, bites you, or otherwise injures you at the veterinary visit, that is a liability to your veterinarian. And that's a big concern because sometimes the only person that can handle this dog is the human they live with. And I hate to have to muzzle dogs, but sometimes for everyone's safety, we have to. If the dog or cat injures somebody or gets injured during the whole process, we have a liability issue. And one day this week, I had a black German Shepherd in my exam room that is great everywhere except the veterinary clinic, according to what the owner told me. We have spayed her at our clinic. We have managed her at our clinic. I've seen her multiple times. This is not a one and done kind of situation. But she was lunging at us with a muzzle on, lurching at us, totally unhappy. And basically, there's no way we can do anything with her other than vaccinate her and safely get her back out to the car. I had to walk out of the lobby and make sure that there was a clear path between her and the car so we didn't even encounter anybody else on the trip in or out. And so this is not a healthy situation for the dog, for the owner, or for us. And no one wants that to happen. So there are times that we will put pets on medication, sometimes long-term, sometimes episodically for veterinary visits, grooming visits, whatever. And even this dog could not be touched by those medications. She has been sent home with them. She gives them in pretty hearty doses, and they just don't work. So we have to come to terms with the fact that not every pet can have a happy vet visit. If we can, I'm going to tell you, your veterinarian would love to make that happen, whether they subscribe to Fear Free, Low Stress, Happy Pets, Happy Vets, whatever formula you want to use. Every veterinarian wants your pet to be happy at their vet clinic. No veterinarian wants to make this unhappy for you or your pet. But if drugs don't do it, then we have to start talking about what other options we have. And there's only so much you can do with behavior mod. And yes, we encourage people to come in for happy visits where they get on the scale, get on the table, go home. Everything's wonderful. All they got was peanut butter while they were there, and it's all great. Nobody touched them, vaccinated them, drew blood from them or anything. But it doesn't always work that way. Not every pet can have their anxiety level managed well enough to make that happen. We try.
And I think that from my experience, from what I've seen, lived with, etc., these dogs don't just have anxiety. It's no. Veterinarian's office. I'm sorry, it's not just you, well, dude. It's not me, it's you, it's not you, it's me.
Right. And that's a really interesting comment, because I will say to someone, because I read the room pretty fast, I will say to them, so tell me about your dog's lifestyle. Tell me about, what does their day look like? Mm-hmm. You know, from the morning to the night, tell me how this goes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really mm-hmm. important that you get an overall picture of it, because you're absolutely right. Most of these dogs, if they are uncomfortable in one setting, there are other pieces of their life that they're also uncomfortable in. It could be the groomer. It could be when the doorbell rings. It could be when the UPS guy shows up at their door, the Amazon guy shows up at your door. You know, it's not that veterinarians are exclusively the only people that pets don't like, but no. We are uniquely positioned, us and groomers are uniquely positioned to have to do things to dogs that they may not like. Right. Now, I find it interesting when someone comes in and says, she loves her groomer, but she doesn't like you guys. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do genuinely think there are magical groomers out there that can have a way with dogs and cats. But I will tell you, I was just listening to a seminar not more than 2 weeks ago, and the veterinarian that was giving it made a really interesting comment to me. And that's when veterinarians take your dog in the back. Mm-hmm. So if they take your dog or cat into the treatment area, we mm-hmm. affectionately call the back, but it's a treatment area. It's really not a very good way to call it, the back. But if they ask you to step out of the room, or if they ask to take your pet to that treatment area, so that you are separated from your pet, that does two things. One is it will protect you from being injured. Secondly, some pets are genuinely better without you there.
Yeah.
But you need to ask your veterinarian to be absolutely transparent with you. And if your pet is still unhappy about the kind of care that it takes to get the blood sample or the catheter or the injections for the vaccines or whatever it is, you need to ask your vet to be totally honest with you, because it's really not fair to you or your pet to have them come out and say, oh, she was great, when she wasn't. It's not okay to do that. We need to be honest with our clients and say, you know, this isn't working real well. And sometimes finding another vet clinic will fix the problem. Sometimes it's just bad juju. Yeah. Most of the time, yeah. It's not. Most of the time, if the dog is uncomfortable in one veterinary setting, they're going to be uncomfortable in all of them. But sometimes, if they've just not had a good experience at one clinic, mm-hmm. changing vet clinics mm-hmm. can make a difference. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. what really we need to cover here is that we start our pets off with wonderful veterinary visits. And we have a lot of control over that as owners, as veterinarians, as veterinary staff, to make the visits as positive and fun as they can be. And I say to people all day long, I want your dog to think that they are going to a restaurant, that they are dragging you in the front door because there's cheese and peanut butter and marshmallow fluff and ginger snaps and cheese snaps and liver sausage and all these amazing treats. Like, they are at the restaurant. This is great. And if we can start them off well, many of them transition into a good situation. But if your vet says, please come in for happy vet visits because we want to try to help your pet desensitize to the stuff we do, cooperate, because your pet's not going to get better if you don't work at it.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Okay, so a couple things I think. Some dogs, like some people, just have a harder time adjusting to life, right?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
We all have friends that just really want to hide in the corner and not talk to anybody, right? Yep. And not be talked to. And I mean, that's just people and dogs. We all have friends that, you know, shiver when there's thunder. People and dogs are not incredibly different in those ways.
No.
I also think that in a lot of cases, people and their dogs can have some of the same personality quirks.
Yes.
Is that something you witness?
Yes, we see a lot of those things. And that, again, isn't meant to be judgmental. It's more observational than it is judgmental. Right. It is who we are. And your pet feeds off of you and you feed off of your pet. And it's interesting to me that we sometimes will see the same behaviors in subsequent pets. If somebody had a dog that was fearful, timid, afraid of certain things, a fear biter, it may be that every pet they own does. And you're like, okay, is this environmental? Is this just that the person sets them up for this? Or do they tend to gravitate toward a certain type of pet that needs extra help or needs something special? Or is it just really bad luck? I think there's a lot to saying, if it's replicable, that we're going to see a reason for that. And it's not necessarily that you're doing it on purpose.
Right. No, nobody's doing this on purpose. But you know the old saying, like, people look like their dogs, right? Like, as I've gotten older, I have chin whiskers like my wire hairs. Like, you know, I picked wire hairs because they're super smart and they might bite you, right? Like, I'm like my dogs, right? And so I think there is a lot to be said for the sense that people select their pet because it's comfortable for them.
Yes, for sure.
So how do we make these folks and their pets more comfortable with the world at large? Maybe the only place they ever go is to your clinic. Maybe not.
Right.
But maybe, like, what are some of the things that people can do, can speak to their own veterinarians about, whether it's medication, whether it's training? What are some of those options?
So if you're starting off with a new pet, select the bold puppy in the litter, the one that comes out to greet you, not the one that hangs back. Mm-hmm. So start with the basic premise of pick up, not necessarily the most obnoxious puppy in the litter, but the one that's confident.
Not the balls to the wall puppy.
Right. But the one that looks at you and connects with you and comes to you. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to drag it out from underneath the other puppies or the mother or the chair or the bench.
Feel sad for it.
Yeah. So start off with that basic premise of pick the right puppy. Pick the one that's got the self-confidence. And then work with your veterinarian to make sure that you get off to a great start. Mm-hmm. If they don't provide treats, and many vet clinics do, but not all, or they may not provide the right treats. Well, if you have a family member allergic to peanut butter is not a good choice.
Right.
If you have a dog that only likes cheese, then you take your own cheese. You don't have to wait for the veterinarian to go to their lunch and drag it out of their sandwich. You know, it's like, I have been known on more than one occasion.
Yeah, I can assure you that's happened.
Yeah. More than once.
Yeah.
In fact, many, many times, you know, we have popcorn in the lobby. If your dog loves popcorn, I'm going to walk out there and get some popcorn. It's easy. But not every vet clinic has a whole array of different treats. So come prepared and then just work with them and make sure that your pet is adequately distracted, looking at the treat or chewing on the treat, or if they're not food motivated, that it's the tennis ball or their favorite chew toy or whatever, while they're getting their vaccination, while they're getting their nails done, while they're doing all this stuff. So you can start off with that basic premise. And again, if your vet says come for happy visits, go for happy visits. Like, work at it. Try a little bit.
Ask your vet for a happy visit if they don't offer it.
Right. And it may just be that they didn't get around to it at that visit, but they may offer it, or they may look at you like, no. And maybe that means you need to find a different vet, and that's okay. Next, you want to make sure that you are using medications if you're veterinarian makes a recommendation. And when I say medications, again, I don't mean Benadryl, I don't mean Ace Promazine. Right. I don't mean CBD oil. I don't mean any of those over-the-counter woo-woo things, because they're not reliable. Well, they're not approved by FDA and they're not reliable. Better living through chemistry is truly a thing. And if you want to really have success, you need to use a pharmaceutical agent that we know is successful. And there's six or eight different drug classes. I have gone to 3 1-week sessions of behavior training in my career, plus all the other stuff that I've done. So find a veterinarian that has an interest in behavior, that is willing to work with you, that understands the different pharmaceuticals that can be used. And then if they suggest it, A, use it. Don't come in and say, well, yeah, you know, I didn't remember to give it today. Okay, that gives your vet and your vet tech a headache. And secondly, adjust the dose of medication so that before you go to the vet clinic, you know what dose you need. If they put a range on the medication, say a half a tablet to 2 tablets, don't wait until the morning that you're going into the vet. Try it ahead of time. See if it works. Is a half a tablet enough? Is 2 tablets too much? If 2 makes them sleep for a week, well, that might not be exactly what we're hoping for. And we don't really want to bomb them out of their minds, whether it's short-term or long-term medication. We just want them to be comfortable enough at a veterinary visit that we don't have to manhandle them, muzzle them, you know, do things that are
add to their anxiety. Right. Like, I mean, that's the whole thing is
right.
And the dog fights with you. You have to put a muzzle on it. The dog gets more anxious because it's muzzled. I mean, all of those things feed each other.
It just escalates. Right. So you don't want that to happen. And if you find yourself in a crisis that you weren't able to manage this well, and something drastic happens, the dog is injured or sick or whatever, and we just flat out have to do it. I mean, all the things that we're not supposed to do with dogs, veterinarians do. We look them straight in the eye. We put them in a corner. We pick them up and put them on the table.
Have to do the things, yeah.
But if you have to do it, you have to do it. If the dog is going to be in trouble without the medical intervention, then you just have to say, okay, we're going to have to just gut it out and deal with it, and then we're going to have to take some steps back to try and undo some of the damage. But there's not much that we can do if there's a crisis.
Yeah.
So practice with the medications ahead of time. Rely on your veterinarian to pick good drugs. And if it's not working, tell them. Say, you know what, I tried the gabapentin and I tried the trazodone and that didn't really cut it for us. What other choices do you have? What other tools do you have in your toolbox that we can use? And please don't do combinations of things that aren't approved. You know, we have clients that are like, well, I have trazodone at home for myself. No, we can't do that. And no, please, not to see.
Stop on that for a minute.
Sure.
I really want to emphasize this. I think that it's really important that people understand that the medication that your veterinarian prescribes for your pet should be taken by your pet, not by you. And your meds should not be taken by the pet.
Your meds are your meds, and your husband's meds are his meds, and your dog's meds are their meds.
Yeah.
So don't be messing around with that stuff. But if the drug isn't working, you know, ask your veterinarian for another drug, ask for a combination of drugs, ask for an injection when you get to the vet clinic, ask for enough time that you can go in, have the injection, wait for it to kick in, get things under control, and then proceed. So expect that it may take 2 hours for your vet visit. Expect it may take another trip back. If your dog comes in and you didn't give the medication or the medication wasn't at the appropriate dose and your dog is not having a good situation or your cat's not having a good situation, you have every right to say, okay, this isn't working for us. Can we reschedule? And it's not that you're mad. It's not that you're not ever coming back because they're doing their best and you did your best. But if it doesn't work, we have other tools. So unless there is a life-threatening crisis, then you have the right to say to your vet, let's try this another way. And that's okay. And like I said, maybe finding another vet clinic is the right one for you. We have the drive-through vet clinic, and for some pets, that environment is great. We have different exam rooms in our main clinic, two that have just a glass wall, a glass sliding mall door. And some dogs and cats are really much more comfortable in that room because they don't have that claustrophobia.
Oh, interesting. I would have the other way around. Like my dogs, if they were in that room, wouldn't be able to be like, wee, there's everybody to see.
Well, we have a curtain we close across it, but then they go under it and they look out the door and they're like,
oh yeah, no, that would be my dog.
my favorite visits are when it's a puppy and a little kid and they kind of pull the quilt back and they peek out the door. It's so cute. I'm like, the little puppy and the little kid are there nose to nose to the glass. It's super cute. But there are different exam room sizes, different exam room types, some with chairs, some with benches, some without. So kind of figure out which environment works best for your dog or cat. Get them used to being in the carrier especially for cats, before the veterinary visit, so that the first time you pop them into the carrier is not this experience where they end up screaming in the car for 20 minutes because you were in bad traffic, and then getting to the vet, and then the cat's already agitated. And trust me, when they've urinated and defecated in the crate, they are telling us that they are really unhappy. So we need to recognize that that's the situation and do our very best. And your vet wants to do this. Nobody's veterinarian says, I got up today to torture little dogs and cats. Trust me, that is
not what they want to do. It's also important for people to hear that the vet's not asking you to do these things with your pet because they want to make more money. Like, super important for people to hear that, because there is nothing in any veterinary clinic anywhere that is, let's make money off this poor, stressed out dog.
No. This is nobody's business model, nobody's goal. Mm-mm. But if you need to find a different room, a different vet, a different drug, be willing to work with your veterinarian and don't just do one of these. Well, we're just going to do it this way because that's, no. Look for a level of collaboration.
Collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah, so that everybody can make this the best experience that they can.
Right.
There's a lot of things that we can do as veterinarians, but believe me, there are certain things we just have to grit our teeth and get through and do the best we can. Mm-hmm. But please, please, please do not combine CBD oil. Do not do all these weird things. If you're not able to follow the veterinarian's recommendations, say you couldn't find the cat in time to give the medication, because gabapentin is best given the night before and the morning of the appointment. And if your cat knew you made the appointment and started hiding
and
the day before,
planned ahead.
Honest to God, cats know when you make the phone call. Like, they are telepathic.
Dogs do too. I'm not sick anymore. Peace, yo.
So if you can't get the meds into the pet, give them a call far enough ahead that you can reschedule. Mm-hmm. Don't just show up late to the appointment, or don't just not show up at all. Or, you know, be really courteous and considerate of your veterinarian, because they're running on a schedule that they are attempting to be on time, do the best they can to take care of as many pets in a day as they can. So, you know, be the person that you would want to be as a client, so that it really works out well. We have drugs like Cilio that help us with noise sensitivity. We have benzodiazepine, Valium and Xanax and lorazepam. We have those class of drugs. We have gabapentin. We have trazodone. There's two basic classes of drugs, the way I look at it. One is the short acting for, we only need this for the night before the appointment and the morning of the appointment, for the groomer, for the veterinarian, for these episodes, these episodic, when Christmas happens and everyone comes screaming into your house, that episodic thing. And then we have the other drugs like fluoxetine and Buspar and some of the other drugs that are better used, clomipramine, as long-term drugs for dogs, cats that are just not ever comfortable in their own skin. So if your dog like walks around the house with a little black cloud, like Pigpen, or Charlie Brown, with a little black cloud over their head all the time, appreciate that your pet is asking for help. And we can certainly help with the appropriate medications. And it may not be the first dose or the first medication. It may take two or three attempts. When you go to your behavioral therapist or your allergist or, you know, your GI doctor, the first medication they send home with you might not be the ultimate best medication. But every one of us, our dogs, cats, and us included, have our own little chemistry lab going inside of our body. And not every drug does the same thing inside of everybody's body the same way. So if it's not the right combination or the right dose, that's okay. Try it again.
Right.
Doesn't mean your vet doesn't know what they're doing. It just means that particular situation didn't work out. And, you know, with the information, if you call me and say, this didn't work at this dose, what's my next step? Raise the dose, change the meds, change the frequency. It's all good.
There's lots of options. And I think the most important thing I wanted people to take away from tonight is there are options. You and your dog do not have to be miserable their whole lives. And that in modern veterinary medicine, veterinarians are more willing, I think, honestly, more willing to discuss some of the behavioral modification pharmaceuticals that are going to be really useful for you and your pet.
Yes, absolutely. And there are new graduates all the time coming out with really good experience, really good training, and there are great programs. So take advantage of that. and just find the, like, we have 8 vets at our clinic. Right. And I will tell you, not every dog reacts the same to every vet. Not every client reacts the same to every vet. I have one doctor that if you get 3 words out of him in the first 3 visits, you've done really, really well. If he smiles and says something to you, you're on. I have other veterinarians that we cannot get. Like, you remember that hook that used to come out on the TV and when they would have people on the stage and they'd be like, off. I have one vet that, like, we have to get her out of the exam room deliberately because she would still be talking tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, even after the 9 o'clock appointment at 9 o'clock tonight, she'd still be talking. So find the right combination of veterinarian and veterinary tech for your pet. Even if you can't see him absolutely every single time, say you have an emergency, you have to see whoever's available, take that appointment. Mm-hmm. But in general, you have the ability to ask for the treat, the vet, the drug, the exam room. There are so many variables of how we can make this better for your pet. Just think about what you want for your pet and how you want it to be done. And if you're okay with just saying, well, just make him get his nails trimmed, I'm okay with it. I mean, my dogs don't love having their nails trimmed, but you know what?
They get their nails trimmed.
We're doing it. Yeah. But I try to, again, make it as easy as I can. When I vaccinate my own puppies, when I microchip my own puppies, they get peanut butter. So make it the best you can, knowing that it's not always a perfect situation, but you try to make the best of everything.
Absolutely. 100%. I used to teach classes, literally classes on how to trim toenails. I'm like, trim one toenail. That's it. One toenail. That's all I'm asking. Then tomorrow night, you can trim the next one. And it takes sometimes that level of effort. And I just want to encourage people out there with their pets to understand that, you know, like people, like kids, dogs are not monolithic. Cats are certainly not. And we, as the humans in their life, have a lot of ability to impact their happiness quotient.
Absolutely. So get all the little stars aligned to make the best you can.
Ducks in a row, poop in a group. All right. All right, Marty. Thanks so much. Appreciate you. It's a late Friday night for both of us, so we're just really grateful everybody's here to join us. And don't forget, take this out, share it with your friends, share it with your family, like, follow, review, do all those things that we need you to do, man. We appreciate you.
Yep.
All right. Have a great night, Marty.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc., sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.